Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a father of five, and I care about, you know, things like faith, family, and freedom, and big, big values. As far as I'm concerned, would really like to leave my children with a little more faith, a little more family value, and a little bit more freedom. And today in the news, this comes from Portland, Oregon. They've removed all swings from public school playgrounds, Dave. And, of course, that breaks my heart. I held the record for swing jumps when I was 10, 11 years old, 25, 30 feet. Man, I was airborne for minutes, it seemed like. But no more swings in Portland, guys. Portland public schools have also rejected merry-go-rounds, tube slides, track rides, arch climbers, and teeter-totters. What do you have left, Dave? You take all that out of the playground, you got grass, I guess. You got the grass. Okay, kids, go play in the grass. At Grant Park in northeast Portland, some parents embrace a new plastic-enclosed play area, noting that the construction of the play equipment does not have sharp corners, and soft surfaces are used in many areas. All right, so a lot of public schools have outlawed tag. See, why would you outlaw tag? I mean, when you're playing tag, they'll just touch somebody? Isn't it just kind of a touch thing?
But somebody is it. Nobody wants to be it. You're ostracized when you're it.
Good point. Also, CBS Television aired some kind of a perverted PSA within their daytime soap opera. It's a perverted thing. I think it's pro-incest. The PSA is pro-incest or pro-cannibalism. I forget. Again, an abomination problem here sometime on Generations. But the PSA is urging viewers to take a stand against the discrimination prejudice faced by, oh, here it is, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. The spot is all part of a campaign by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation called Be an Ally and a Friend. So, pro-homosexual PSAs now on daytime television. Also, this is big in a Massachusetts school district. They're passing out little books called King and King to their preschool or kindergarten kids. It's a homosexual-themed fairy tale. King and King. And Liberty University, that's Jerry Falwell's thing, I think, just brought in a Jewish rabbi to speak at their weekly convocation. He encouraged gay unions. Yeah, and that's a shock for me. I didn't think Jerry Falwell was going that direction.
So what is a gay union? Do they go on strike when they don't get enough wages?
No, I think this has to do with gay marriage light.
Oh, yeah. That kind of union.
And just last week, I know that you caught this, Dave. I don't know how many other folks caught it, but the California State Senate passed a bill that removes sex-specific terms such as mom and dad from textbooks and requires students to learn about the contributions homosexuals have made to society. So no more moms and dads in California. They're getting rid of them, at least in the curriculum in California. The bill approved 22-15 would prevent textbooks, teaching materials, instruction, and school-sponsored activities from reflecting adversely on anyone based on sexual orientation or actual or perceived gender. Boy, this sounds politically correct to me. By a vote of 25-23, the Washington State Legislature just passed a law prohibiting employers, lenders, and landlords from taking homosexuality into account. And last month in Bloomington became the second city in Indiana to enshrine transgenderism as a protected class along with sexual orientation. The bottom line here, folks, homosexuality on the march. World Magazine just recently reported that the homosexual lobby is on a full court press. They are advancing their agenda. The World interviewed socially conservative activists and legislators and all used the same word to describe the current climate of the gay rights movement. It's relentless. It's relentless. Folks, the homosexuals are on the march. They have been on the march since the 1990s. In fact, they have made steady progress since 1990. They are always aggressive with their agenda. Dave, this goes all the way back to, I'm thinking, Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember how aggressive they were at the House of Lot? I mean, they can't leave well enough alone. They certainly cannot leave the righteous alone. What do they do to the righteous? They beat on their door, try to beat the door down to get at their visitors so that they can, I guess, molest them. Homosexuals on the march. They were beating on the gates of the House of Lot in the city of Sodom. And the Sodomites in the book of Judges were doing the very same thing. The Nazi Party was born in gay bars. Ladies and gentlemen, today, can you hear the beating on the gates? The homosexual strategy is always to use tyranny to accomplish their ends. They will indoctrinate judges in law schools to prefer homosexuals in custody cases. They will infiltrate kindergartens with their ideology, King and King. They'll get the books. They'll get the fairy tales. They'll get everything into the kindergartens. They will sue churches, imprison pastors, and silence all speech against homosexuality in media and schools. They will put government-funded sculptures of homosexuals doing sex acts in public parks. They will create sex laboratories in high schools. They will stop at nothing. This is the homosexual agenda. It's been going on for 4,000 years, ladies and gentlemen. Homosexuals have a hard time with the generational vision, and it ties into a biological problem. They have a hard time having kids. And the only way they can grow their kingdom is by their propaganda and by actively recruiting in junior highs and high schools. I'm a father of five. Dave, you're a father of five, and I think you care about what happens in public parks, what happens, well, even in high schools, universities, whatever. You care what happens in this. You care if your pastor gets in prison for talking against homosexuality. Do you care? Do you care what your world looks like? And what's the strategy? How are we going to address the homosexual full court press? Ladies and gentlemen, that's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Stay tuned.
Worldview Radio at its best. This is Generations.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today, we're talking about an issue that I think is important to our own lives, especially to the lives of our children, because, Dave, this world is not going to be the same 20 years from now because the homosexuals today are on full court press. We are going to see our schools change. They will change for the worse. They will our parks will change for the worse. Our television programs will change for the worse. We've seen it in a radical way in the last 10 years. And ladies and gentlemen, again, what's the strategy? How are we supposed to deal with the full court press that the homosexual lobbying groups are pressing upon the family, upon faith, and upon freedom today? Well, there are two solutions that I want to discuss today on the program. The first is political, the second is practical. The political solution is something we have failed at miserably. In fact, Mike Ferris, who is president of Patrick Henry College and a startup HSLDA, he's been on the air a couple of times on this program. Mike Ferris wrote in the recent HSLDA court report that the federal marriage amendment hardly has a prayer. Those aren't his words, but basically what he's saying is the force against us is too strong. The federal marriage amendment will probably not make it. Now, that's Mike's take on the marriage amendment approach to the homosexual press in terms of the homosexual marriage issue. I know we are working on a marriage protection amendment sponsored by Representative Kevin Lundberg. He is spearheading the marriage protection amendment that is supposed to be on the ballot here in Colorado in November, but he's got to get something like 100,000 signatures, and I don't know if there are, you know, more than 10 people want to collect signatures for him, but you know, right now the odds are really against us politically.
But Kevin, as much as I respect Mike Ferris, and I do, he's not a prophet or a son of a prophet, and whether or not an amendment really stands a Las Vegas odds chance of passing doesn't make the fight not worthwhile. We need to get in there and fight for righteousness, even if by God's providence we don't succeed this time.
Yes, yes. And I encourage people to take up a signature sheet for the marriage protection amendment that Representative Lundberg is doing, and I'm going to do the same thing. And we're going to work hard, and we're going to work for our kids and our grandkids, because we have got to stand for family, folks, or we are going to see our civilization disintegrate around us. And you cannot protect your children entirely from what happens in your civilization. Therefore, what happens in your country may very well impact the lives of your children and your grandchildren. We've got to get involved, and politically it is important to be involved. Nevertheless, Dave, it seems to me that the politicians that tend to be on our side, those who call themselves conservatives, are always compromising the truth away. They effectively aren't willing to fight, and I think the main reason here is because we have not raised the ethical standard. There's so much compromise in terms of what is an ethical standard and whether or not we ought to raise an ethical standard in our churches in our mouthpieces, even in Christian radio, anywhere else, it's hard to find people who are willing to stand up and say what God says about homosexuality being an abomination in Leviticus chapter 20 is true. God is right. God has a right to say what he says, and his law is the standard. If we had churches preaching messages like this, I think politically we would be stronger.
And that's the key problem. I believe that the politicians won't stand for an ethical standard because the churches and the ministers throughout this land have compromised that standard away through theological systems, through just lack of courage because they have to support their building programs. Whatever the issue, they are not preaching the Leviticus 20. They're not preaching through Deuteronomy. They're not even preaching Romans chapter 1 to these people saying this is an abomination before God, as is all the other adultery.
Yes, and of course, you know, you preach the law of God, you preach grace too. But grace is meaningless without law. Why did Jesus die on the cross if there was no law, if there was no law broken? There has to be an ethical standard if there's going to be a gospel of Jesus Christ, and if there are going to be politicians who stand with courage on those standards when they get into the legislatures or into the gubernatorial seat in our states or even in the Congress of the United States.
Kevin, law is presented so often as this list of things that we can't do, pleasures that we must deprive ourselves of, and that is exactly the wrong way to view God's law. God's law is like asking your children to wash their hands before dinner. You know, they fight and they fuss, I don't want to wash my hands. They sometimes lie, I washed my hands, they really didn't wash their hands. But what happens to a child who doesn't wash their hands before dinner?
They get sick and they die. And ultimately, yeah, God's law is there to give us a standard for life so that we can live, so that we can live in freedom. In fact, the ultimate slavery is slavery to sin. Ask any homosexual who's willing to tell you the truth. They don't live a gay lifestyle. They live a life of slavery to their sin. You got two solutions here we're discussing on this program today, folks. The first is political. The second is practical. And, Dave, the practical issue is what we can do day by day in our homes, and that is we have got to restore fatherhood. And, Dave, we have mentioned this statistic a number of times on this program, but you know 36% of children are born without fathers today. It was up from 5% in 1960. In 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, in 40 years, the percent of children born without fathers is up from 5% to 36%. Homosexuals come from families where fathers are disengaged, abusive, not involved. Dave, I think we're going to have a lot more homosexuals in the next 20 years, possibly double. I'm going to suggest we're going to have double the number of homosexuals we have today because we have so many, many, many kids who are born without fathers. We need fatherhood to train up men. And if you don't get a father, he's not going to train you up to be a man. This is how homosexuals are made. They come from families where fathers are angry, abusive, or disengaged.
If the psychologists and the sociologists, the information, the data they're providing is correct, that most male homosexuals come from a relationship with their father that was either non-existent or abusive, then we have an epidemic on our hands about ready to happen.
Oh, you got it. You got it. We're going to see so many, many more homosexuals. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare your children for an age of homosexuality. Prepare them. They are going to live in a world where homosexuality is incredibly rampant. But folks, we've got to change it. And how do you change it? Well, you change it by restoring fatherhood. And Dave, you know 36% of children are born without fathers. They have no father on the day they're born, but there's a whole lot more. There are millions upon millions upon millions of kids that don't have their fathers there for years and years and years in their growing up time because their fathers have divorced their mothers or because their fathers are disengaged. Their fathers are way more busy with work. They have deprioritized the family and the raising of their children. They are disengaged from those homes. And until the hearts of those fathers come home to those children, we're going to continue to see a problem here with the rampant rise of homosexuality.
We need to look at ourselves as Lot, sitting in the city of Sodom. Lot was considered a righteous man. Homosexuality was oppressive in that city. It was coming knocking at his door, literally knocking at his door for the strangers that were visiting him. Lot had sons. Lot did not escape with his sons. His sons did not leave the destruction of the city.
He was a bad father.
He was a righteous man, and he lost his sons. We cannot afford to lose our sons.
Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an age without fatherhood. We have lost fathers. We live in an age of irresponsible men, spineless men, heartless and treacherous men who won't keep their covenants, dishonorable men, passive men, men who refuse to sacrifice in love for their wives. We have men who spend their days smoking peyote, engaging in tribal gang warfare, and impregnating half the villages. We have men who are not courageous enough to be sacrificial lovers. We have angry patriarchs. We have macho men who couldn't lead anything, even a poodle on a potty walk. We don't have men with faith. And Dave, we need fathers. Fathers with faith. Fathers with eyes for vision. Fathers with heads for wisdom. Fathers with backbones for courage. Fathers with arms for strength and responsibility. Fathers with hearts for love. And Dave, I think if you bring all that together, love, fathers with love, fathers with strength, fathers with wisdom, fathers with vision. We're talking about fathers with faith. We need fathers with faith. We need fathers who are willing to stand up and be fathers in their homes. We need men who are willing to put the channel changer down. I mean, just enough faith to drop the channel changer and stand up and say, son, I haven't been a father to you. I haven't discipled you. I haven't brought God's word to you. I haven't waded into your life and dealt with your sins. I haven't even confessed my own sins to you. We need fathers with the faith to reconnect in that way with their sons.
We need fathers with faith, and the faith that works its out in faithfulness. Faithfulness to execute the law of God in their lives. Faithfulness to repent of their sins before their children, before their wives. Faithfulness to love their wives when their wives are unlovable. Faithfulness to discipline their children and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That kind of faithfulness depends on faith.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the standard. This is the vision for fatherhood. We have lost it. And Dave, I can hardly speak of these things without some mourning, without some sadness. We have lost these things. We've lost a sense for what it is to be a father. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. We've come out of generations where fathers have progressively walked away. They have pulled their hearts away from their homes and their kids and their wives. And they don't have the vision that they once had. David, we had fathers for vision. They would have the vision to pull their children out of those public schools where those schools are not teaching the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom. And I think that takes faith. That takes faith for a father to say, it's time to do something different. I'm going to begin to give my children an education rooted in the fear of God. I'm going to teach them sexual purity by insisting that they fear God and loving Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they don't get that in the sex ed class at their high school. Public schools refuse to teach the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the sex ed classes, let alone the science classes and the history classes. Teach your children sexual purity by teaching them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:7, you teach that every day as they rise up, as they lie down, as they walk by the way, as they ride in the car, wherever they are, you hang God's law like a frontlet between their eyes, like a little Bible verse that hangs before their eyes constantly. You never remove them from the environment of the presence of God and the fear of God. Now, you teach sex education. We're going to get back to sexuality here, too, because this is where homosexuals go wrong. They do not teach. They are not learning that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. You've got to teach your kids they got to be sexually pure, not because they might get an STD. That's a bad education in sex ed. You'd never, never, never teach your kids sex ed by saying be pure because you might get an STD. That's the wrong way. That's the wrong foundation for sex education for your child. You teach them to be sexually pure because they live in the presence of Almighty God. And God wants them to be sexually pure. That's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge.
And God blesses them for being sexually pure. Not only do they not avoid the bad things, but they get blessed with a rich marriage. They get the sexuality and all the pleasure and all the oneness that God has promised and put in the sexuality as a part of marriage. They get that incredible blessing, but they can't waste it.
Dave, we're going to the root here. We're going to the root where homosexuality comes from. And to just address the political issue is fruitless. It will be fruitless unless parents listening right now are willing to direct themselves to the root of the problem And the root of the problem is right here, ladies and gentlemen. It's in this area of bad fathering and not giving your children an education rooted in the fear of God. This is the way we are going to correct the problem. And if we try to solve the problem politically, but we're not dealing with the bad fatherhood issue, which is in just about every home in the state of Colorado and just about every home in the United States, I almost guarantee it that you're not going to see good fathering in 99% of the homes out there. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, to revive these concepts. Let's revive good fathering. It's our intention on this program to raise a standard, And I want to encourage you to get some good resources on the issue of manhood and fatherhood. In fact, we've got to restore the vision for fatherhood and manhood with our sons. And the resource that I want to encourage you to get today is Future Men by Doug Wilson. This is the best book I have ever read on the raising of sons. It's a fantastic book. It is Bible-based. It spends most of the time in the book of Proverbs. But this book will give you, dads, a vision for what manhood is, and at the same time, help you to give that vision to your sons. Get this book, Future Men, and restore a vision for manhood in your family. Folks, it's just a matter of time when homosexuality will grow and grow in this nation because fatherhood has been lost. And the way to solve it is to restore fatherhood. Let's do it today. And get this book, this resource, Future Men, by Doug Wilson, by calling us at 877-842-CHECK. Call right now, 877-842-CHECK, and ask for the book, Future Men. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me, host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. We have 40 countries listening right now to our program at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members tuned in. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
You have been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com.